This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Optimize your nutrition this year with Factor, America's number one ready-to-eat meal service. Factor's fresh, never frozen meals are dietitian approved, ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from 40 weekly options across 8 dietary preferences like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Eat smarter at factormeals.com/listen50 and use code LISTEN50 for 50% off plus free shipping on your first box. Factormeals.com/listen50. Code LISTEN50.
Pitch is swung on, hit the other way to left field. This is a fair ball into the corner. Here come the Cardinals. It's Arenado to score. Contreras will score, and the Cardinals take the lead on a two-run double by Alec Burleson here in the sixth.
That sucked ass. Skeens was cruising. Walks a guy, gives up the two-out, two-run double, and he gets a hard luck loss because the Pirates were going up against Liberatore, and they made him look like prime Randy Damn Johnson. That's the way it goes. Every time Skeens takes the mound, the Pirates turn the opposing pitcher into Paul Skeens. John Wehner, who will join us today at 8:35, said it yesterday on the broadcast that in 5 games against the St. Louis Cardinals, where Paul Skeens has pitched well, the offense has scored, while he's been on the mound, 2 runs.
Jeez.
2 runs in 5 games. And I was critical-ish of Paul Skeens last week. I said he's not been as dominant. And we will get into that in a moment, because I don't think, again, he was as dominant last night. But that loss is not on him. Most of the losses with him on the bump this year are not on him. It's on one of the most inept offenses we've ever seen relative to where they're supposed to be in a 6-year regime. There are only so many ways that we can say this Pirates team has been bad. They are 10 games back of the division lead. 10! It's May 7th. They are 12-25, the third worst record in baseball, and they've lost 6 games in a row. And there seems to be some steam picking up on this on the social media. I haven't seen any credible reports or anything like that. But the Pirates, again, have lost 6 games in a row. They look absolutely lifeless and listless. There's an off day tomorrow. People on social media think it could be the day for Derek Shelton to go. 412-928-9370. It would make sense.
Yeah.
You can't keep losing ball games and there not be a price to pay, Doran. You're not going to make the playoffs. You've got a winning percentage of 324. 324.
You, like, we've talked about this so many times, and nothing is going to change. Like, if you do fire Shelton, nothing's going to change, but you need a different voice. You need a different, you know, look. You need a different everything. Even if it doesn't change, even if, you know, you still lose ball games, you need to send a message. It's almost inevitable at this point. Like, how could you justify, if you lose today, get swept by the Cardinals, come back, and you know, you're still the manager? Like, you just can't justify it at this point. Something has to happen. That's why I think the speculation is as high as it is. And like you said, no credible reports yet, but the speculation is, if there was a time to do it, it would be tomorrow.
It would be. And you're right. I don't think getting rid of Derek Shelton magically turns this season around. I don't think getting rid of Ben Cherington magically turns this season around. But there are two reasons why you do it. Number one, accountability.
Yeah.
You need to be accountable as a professional sports organization. Most of us here at The Fan didn't think the Pirates would have a winning year this season. And that would have justified the firing of both of these guys and a total cleaning of the house in the organization at the end of the year. If they finished with a similar record to last season, or even if they were a little bit improved but still finished with a losing record in year six, you got to clean house. It's just unacceptable. But now they are historically bad, or at least on pace to be historically bad. They have a winning percentage of 324, as I've already stated. They are on pace to have their most losses in a season in a 162-game season. And it's year six. Year six of the Huntington regime and the Hurdle regime led to 94 wins, a wild card victory, and a playoff series where they were this close to beating St. Louis. Not that I'm celebrating losing a series, but that's what year six with that regime yielded. So I said there's two reasons. Number one, accountability. And number two, you owe it to your fans.
Yeah.
Because now we've got a team employee who got spit on, which that ain't ever okay. You spit on somebody, whatever is coming your way,
yes,
is deserved. But this has made national news. You've got a Pirates team employee, I think an usher.
It was an usher, yes.
Who beat the heck out of some dude with his belt.
Mm-hmm.
And that went viral.
I feel like that was justified. I don't know if you really want to get into it, but I think it was justified. Don't spit on somebody, especially an employee of a venue.
My understanding of the situation was this guy who got hit by the belt was being quite ruthless to another team employee, someone working one of the registers, I think, at the concession stands. And so this guy, the usher, kind of got up in his face saying, hey, man, like, you got to back off. This is not okay behavior. And then the dude spit on the usher, and the usher started unloading.
Mm-hmm.
So it sounds like the usher was trying to do the right thing.
Yeah.
And then once you spit on me, like...
Right.
And I've said it on the show. I ain't a fighter. You spit on me, you might beat my ass after it, but I'm throwing hands.
Yeah.
I think that's as disrespectful an act as you can...
Absolutely.
...as you can commit towards another human being, is spitting on them. Yeah. And then he kept doing it because the dude clocked him and he had blood coming out of his mouth. So they've made national news for that. There was the whole Bricks thing. There was the whole Clemente thing. There have been some PR... disasters off the field this year.
Falling the stands.
Yes, the falling in the stands, which, hey, I don't know what happened there. I don't feel comfortable speculating, but that was, again, you're right, another national story that didn't have to do with baseball. And then the team on the field is 12-25. You've got to give the fan base a pound of flesh. I happen to believe Derek Shelton is a good guy. I've heard nothing actually... but great things about
Same.
The man, Ben Cherington.
Same.
I get no satisfaction in saying this. I don't get my jimmies off by saying this. I want these guys to win. I want this team to win, but they haven't. And that's the reality. If our ratings were bad, they're not. We're outstanding at our jobs. But if our ratings were bad, and SPAC or Craig called me into the office and said, hey, Crowley, the ratings are bad. You've got to go. We're going to keep Doran as the face of the show, but you got to go. I would understand it. I wouldn't like it. I'm trying to feed my family. This is the only thing in the world that I'm good at. But you know what? I understand it. If the results aren't there, the results aren't there.
Uh-huh.
And the results, my God, are not there.
And haven't been.
That is correct.
That's the biggest. Like it's not like you had a short leash here. It's been 6 years.
That's exactly right.
Like it's a long time.
And we knew that unless there was significant improvement from players on this roster, that they weren't going to have a nosebleeds chance in hell at competing this year. But there wasn't a single person. I'm tired of reading from Pirates fans. We knew this was going to happen. No. There wasn't a single person that thought coming into the year that this Pirates team would be historically bad. And I'm sorry. Yeah, you don't have Jared Jones. Yeah, you don't have Nick Gonzalez. Yeah, you don't have Spencer Horowitz. You can't be 13 games under 500 on May 7th, regardless of the circumstances.
those guys aren't superheroes either.
That's exactly right.
Like, that's not an excuse.
They could have all three of those guys back, and maybe you've got three more wins. Maybe. And we have done the whole tears of blame thing, T-I-E-R-S, not T-E-A-R-S, although we all are crying about the state of our favorite baseball team. Yeah, it's Bob Nutting. Yeah, then it's Ben Cherington for me. And then I think there's a sizable gap, and then there's Derek Shelton. Those two both have to go.
Mm-hmm.
They just do. And I think tomorrow makes a lot of sense. Again, I never want to see anybody lose their jobs. I want people to be successful. But they haven't been. It's year six. You have an off day. You're coming back home against the Braves after that. Show the fan base that this thing isn't on autopilot right now.
Right. Yes.
And the next manager is going to be set up to fail. Like, if it's Don Kelly, and I assume he'll be the interim guy, this schedule doesn't get any easier.
No, it doesn't.
And this roster is what it is. But... And with all due respect to Don Kelly, who I know is a good guy and who I think will be a very good manager in Major League Baseball at some point in his career, I don't want him being the manager of this baseball team long term anyway, because I don't want anybody who's been part of this for this to be involved in the next administration,
mm-hmm.
fair or otherwise. They might be a much better baseball team right now if Don Kelly was leading the ship. I don't care. The stench reaches all these guys. Again, fair or unfair. So that shouldn't be the reason why you continue to employ Derek Shelton or Ben Cherington, because you don't want the interim guys to fail. I also don't want Ben Cherington to make the draft picks.
Yeah.
412-928-9370 is the phone number. You can weigh in on all this. Here's a text. You can't fire the owner, and nothing will change until the owner changes. I understand the frustration, and I understand the frustration from any fan of a small market baseball team. But we've talked about this a ton. Cleveland wins. The Rays win. Milwaukee wins. The Reds are in the thick of things right now. All small market teams. The A's aren't playing in Oakland. They're not in Vegas. They're just the A's right now. And they're winning baseball games. And the Pirates won in 13, 14, and 15 with this owner. It can be done. You got to do things pretty perfectly. Draft, develop, keep the right guys, make the shrewd trades at the right times. But we saw Neil Huntington be able to do that. So I do not subscribe to that notion that you can't win baseball games with this owner. They've done it. But a change needs to happen now.
Yep.
Tomorrow. 412-928-9370. Your texts, tweets, and calls on this coming up next. The Fan Morning Show is brought to you by Guardian Protection, your hometown home and business security company. We'll talk about Paul Skeens' outing and a national opinion piece that was thrown out there where it's speculated just how much a contract for O'Neill Cruz and Paul Skeens might cost.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company, from America for America.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features Swift Rinse Tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Pirates lost again last night, and so I'm not really sure what to do with it because there are only so many different ways to say this is a bad baseball team. So we kind of just vent at 412-928-9370 on the fan hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. The Pirates are off tomorrow and would seem like a reasonable day to get rid of the manager and the GM. Just throwing that out there. A lot of people on Twitter have been speculating about it. There's no sources on this. Doesn't mean it's coming. Doesn't mean that these guys are going to get fired during the year. But again, 12-25, six losses in a row, .324 winning percentage in year six of the Shelton and Charrington era. And at some point, you got to throw the fans a bone. And it would make sense if they did that tomorrow before a homestand coming up against the Braves on Friday. 412-928-9370. People continue to pour into the text line saying that getting rid of these guys doesn't make a difference. I don't think it makes a difference in the here and now.
No.
I don't think it turns the team around like in the snap of your fingers. But you can win here with a good general manager and a good manager. We have seen it. For a three-year span, they were the second-best team wins and losses-wise in all of Major League Baseball. And we know how baseball in the postseason is a crapshoot. They played three wild card games. They won one of those wild card games. They had a guy on steroids for the Cubs who beat them in one of them. And they had one of the greatest runs that we've ever seen in the history of pitching by Madison Bumgarner in the other. If they played those teams in series, who knows what happens? And I'm not making excuses. That's just how baseball works. When you win that many games in 3 years, you've done a really good job as an organization, but teams like Cleveland and Milwaukee and Tampa, they have found a way, while not spending a lot of money, to win consistently. Even when you think about those Yankees, when they were dynastic at the end of the 90s and the early 2000s, Derek Jeter was their guy. Like, they had guys that were homegrown talents. Mariano Rivera. Like, yes, they spend money. Yes, they're the Yankees. That's the key to all this success. I look at what the Chicago Cubs are doing right now, and yeah, they've got bigger pocketbooks than the Pirates. Mm-hmm. But it's drafting, developing. The Pete Crow Armstrong they made a trade for, he's a young guy that looks like he's going to be a star. I look at the Royals. They won the World Series a few years ago. Folks, you can do it if you're not spending a lot of money. You need the right GM. You need the right manager. Now, do you have faith that they're going to hire the right GM and right manager? They've just failed with these two guys. No doubt about it. But you get the right guys in place, you can win here.
Who's going to want to come here and win? Or who's going to come here and be the GM? Who's going to want to come here and be the manager and actually have something behind them that actually could say that they could win?
It's a great question. And my rebut to that would be, Ben Jerrington won a World Series and he wanted to come here. He has not done a good job, but he won a World Series. He had proven himself in this industry, and he wanted to come here. There's only 30 jobs. I think you go out and you get an assistant GM from one of these small market teams that's had a lot of success, and I think you try to model it after them. Whoever's in Cleveland, whoever's in Tampa, they're number two, bring them here. And you're going to get rope. You're going to get time. They've won jack crap in 6 years, and they still have their jobs. There's something to be said about that.
That's true.
And I'm no Bob Nutting defender. Me saying you can win with him as the owner is not defending the guy. But he will give a general manager room to operate. Not the cash flow you'd like. I'm not arguing that. But Ben Charrington has spent a ton of money on a whim on facilities in South America and bizarre analytic positions. This is a fact. They spend a ton of money on stuff like that because Bob said, here's a check.
Do what you need to do with it.
Do what you need to do.
You're the baseball guy.
Exactly.
And I'm going to trust you that you put it in the right places.
And I think there's something to that. I think that's a selling point for prospective candidates. The guy who wound up being hired by the Brewers was a finalist for this job. And they won the division last year. And he could be the GM now. They made the wrong hire. I don't know that he would have won here. I tend to think he could have if you win in Milwaukee. And they spent a little bit more money than the Pirates, but if you look at where they have been payroll-wise, they're right there. I mean, they're neck and neck, just like the Reds. They're all in the same kind of bucket. You got to go find that guy. There's no guarantee that when they get rid of Ben Charrington, whether it's at the end of the year or when, that they'll hire the right guy. But I do think you can have a nice list of candidates here.
Mm-hmm.
I think. I hope. 412-928-9370.
I mean, everybody that is in an assistant role or a director role of like scouting and wants to be a GM is going to jump at a job like this.
Yeah, I would think.
You know, just because of the opportunity, but that doesn't mean that they're necessarily good for the job.
100%. But I would argue this, and this isn't a very nice thing to say, but you look at the record the last 6 years, this isn't emotion, this is fact. They haven't won enough.
Right.
And so would the next guy be worse? I mean, we've had people call into the station and say that they think Ben is the worst general manager in the history of Pittsburgh sports. Now, I haven't gone in the Wayback Machine. I'm not going to name every Pirates general manager, but the win-loss record has not been good.
I feel like that there's a little bit of sense of pressure, though, because of Skeens. I feel like you take this job, GM or manager, like the pressure is maybe you do have a big window to make things happen, but you don't have a Skeens window. Like, you need to do it within the Skeens window, I should say, to get them to maximize the most out of him. That's a lot of pressure.
Definitely.
Like,
it's also a gift. It's also like,
it's a gift and it's a curse.
If I were a prospective GM candidate, I would look at what the Pirates have in their farm and what they've got at the big league level in the starting pitching. And I would think, you know what? That's a much better starting point than what Ben Charrington was left with. Like, make no mistake, Ben Charrington had a tough job to come in and do. I mean, they were 69-93 in his first year, and they were in the year preceding him, his first year, and they had to tear things down to build it back up. They go 19-41, 61-101. Like, they were bad. At least you've got the bones of what could be a very good starting rotation.
Yeah.
If you're thinking Skeens, Jones, Keller, Chandler, sooner than later, Hunter Barco, that's a good starting rotation, and thus a good starting point for the next guy. Now, when it comes to the hitting side of things, you've got Reynolds, who hasn't played well this year. I think he'll be fine. But you've got Reynolds and you've got Cruz. That's it. So you got to do a lot of building there. But when I say, can you do worse? Charrington, 19-41, 61-101, 62-100, 76-86, 76-86, and this year you're 12-25. This isn't me getting all emotional. Those are facts. So, and I know you're not making this argument, but we have seen it on the text line and via Twitter. I mean, is the next guy even going to do a good job? Is the next guy going to be better than this? It's tough to be worse than six consecutive losing seasons. And now this year in what was supposed to be the year, I think, it's the worst season that they've had under this guy. At least they're on pace for that. So, I mean, you could hire me, and I'd probably do a worse job. But people who are qualified, it's tough to do worse than that six-year span. 412-928-9370. We have callers on the line. We'll get to you. You talk about Skeens, and I'll bring O'Neill Cruz, who's having a great year, into the conversation. They're paying these guys combined less than $1.5 million. And this is still what you have. What are they going to cost in the not-too-distant future? Jeff Passan. Passan? Jeff from ESPN.
Yep.
He tells us exactly how much these guys could cost. Next. Your calls as well. Text us, brought to you by Eggersteiner & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. And you can tweet us, brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net.
Hey, everyone. Summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
Anyone who loves playing baseball or softball knows that one of the first steps in that journey is breaking in your first glove. It's where your love of the game began. Where does your child's baseball or softball journey begin? Go to playball.org to get started. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
I'm Emma Greed, and I'm the host of the Aspire podcast, a show where I talk to the world's most brilliant minds about building the life of your dreams. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
We'll take your calls momentarily. We will get into the Jeff Passan piece where he tells us just how much money O'Neill Cruz and Paul Skeens could be costing in the not-too-distant future. Something I heard yesterday on Starkey's show, Doran. Joe asked Noah Hyles why guys like Leover Peguero and Matt Gorski aren't getting more time. And both those guys did play yesterday.
Yeah.
But prior to that, they hadn't been playing enough. Peguero hadn't played at all. Gorski had a triple. He also hit a home run. And they have him riding the pine most days. Noah Hyles' response made me want to wreck my car into a tree. And his response was, they don't think those guys are part of the future. I'm not crushing the messenger here, Doran. This isn't Noah's opinion. This is what he's been hearing. How is Matt Gorski not as much, if not more, a part of the future than Manuel Valdez?
Yeah, so who is a part of the future? And then why, if they're not a part of the future, why the hell are they here?
I don't even care if they're part of the future or not.
Yeah, like play them.
You're 12-25.
Right. True. True.
And also during that segment, Noah said he thinks IKF is going to get moved at the deadline because this is the final year of his contract. I don't know that that should be surprising to anybody. He's on the IL. You got Triolo playing short because Triolo is going to be around for a while because of his glove. What the hell are we doing here? Like, I understand the value of a guy like Triolo whenever your team is good, but for this team, he's a luxury. Yeah, he can pick it, and he won a gold glove last year. You need to score some damn runs.
He's a utility player, and they're playing him like a position player.
Yes.
Like,
why wouldn't you just try Peguero? Why wouldn't I don't you try know, yeah. Gorski?
They're not a part of the future?
Neither is Shelton or right. Charrington, just exactly. To be frank.
But who is a part of the future if they aren't?
Skeens, Jones, Keller.
I mean, down below.
Yep.
So who's a part of the future, though? If these guys aren't, and they're the ones that are being called up and on the main roster, so who's a part of the future? Is anybody a part of the future?
I'm sure some big seamhead person's going to call in and rip me for this, but they have a 19-year-old shortstop who looks like he might be the second coming. He's not going to be here for 4 years.
Right.
And that's it. Tamar Johnson has been a big-time disappointment. He's got an OPS in the 700s right now at AA. They don't have guys who are impact players in their organization, and if they do, they're a long ways away. Like, you can talk to me about Billy Cook and Nick York. I'd rather see them than not. Sure, of course, because you got to try something different. Throw some stuff against the wall and see if it sticks. But those guys aren't going to be big-time impact players. And that's the crux of the whole Ben Cherington thing. They have built this pitching staff out to a point where I think it can be very, very good. They've got nothing in the way of position players.
No.
Someone texted in and said, Crowley, your examples, bringing up Tampa, bringing up some of these other teams like the A's, they don't make sense because they're kind of one-offs. Well, Tampa's not a one-off. Oakland has been bad for like the last 10 years, but I keep using Cleveland as the example. Here's Cleveland, because this was another way of trying to crush ownership here. And again, I understand all the Bob Nutting frustration. I'm not sticking up for the guy, but you can win without spending a lot of money is the point. Cleveland has had a winning season. I just looked this up during the break. In 8 of the last 10 years. 8 of 10 years. You know how many times their payroll the last 10 years was over $100 million? 3 times. That's it. 7 of 10 years, their payroll less than $100 million. And they've still had winning seasons in 8 out of 10 years. It can be done.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to find the right guy. 412-928-9370.
It's been done. It's been done.
Here.
Right.
Here. They've done it here. So, yeah, the owner, we've all complained about it. I get it. I'm not saying it's not a problem. But there are legitimate issues with Major League Baseball not having a salary cap that other small market teams have worked around. Fact. It's not conjecture. That's not opinion. That's fact. And you can do it here, too, if the right people are in charge. And it's happened here, to your point. 412-928-9370. We will get into Skeens and, well, we'll do it right now. He's not a problem. He's got an ERA of 277. He's been very good this year. He went 6 innings yesterday, only gave up the 2 runs. He struck out 6 guys. He's not a problem. However, I said last week, he has not been as dominant this year, and people absolutely eviscerated me for it. Jason Mackey, to my face on the radio, said I'm stupid.
Yes, he did.
And he was texting me last night when Skeens was going good, pretty much calling me stupid again. Oh, geez, it's a good thing Skeens didn't retire, is what Mackey texted me. He walked 4 guys. The entire broadcast, Greg Brown, who has watched more Pirate games the last 30 years than anybody, and John Wehner, who knows more about baseball and has forgotten more about baseball than I will ever know, they were spending a sizable chunk of the broadcast talking about Skeens not locating the way he wants to, and the number of breaking balls this year that weren't even competitive pitches, when maybe you could name like 4 off the top of your head last year because it was so rare. Paul Skeens is not the reason they lost last night. He is not a problem. He is a success story. He's still having a very good year. But to argue that he has been as dominant this season as he was last year is to argue out of your ass, because the reality is he hasn't been as good.
He has not.
That's just a fact.
Right. And I think it's a combination of things. I think it's a combination of pressure. I think it's a combination of teams actually getting a beat on him. I think it's a combination of him trying out different things for his arsenal.
And I think he's doing it because there's a ton of pressure on him to win and be perfect every time out.
Absolutely.
So he's adding to his repertoire. He's changing his arm slot. He's trying to be more efficient because he thinks, and he's right, that when he's on the mound, that's the best chance the Pirates are going to have to win every week.
Yes.
So he wants to be perfect. And I think it's killing him that he's part of a baseball team that's 12-25. And I think a little bit he's trying to do too much. Again, stat line fine last night. And there was a moment in that game where he did settle down and was cruising, and then at the end, I'm not going to say fell apart. He gave up one extra base hit. But he did give up the 2 runs there at the end. I'm not criticizing Paul Skeens. I'm merely stating he has not been as good as last year. And I got murdered for it. Maybe it was a poorly worded tweet or something like that.
Well, that was taken out of context, I think.
And that. And Mackey wrote a whole column about it.
Mm-hmm. Told you you're stupid, actually.
He did, right to my face.
Yeah.
Which I respect. I like that. It's radio. We're talking about sports. You can think I'm stupid about sports. I don't care. I don't take it personally. But, okay, is he going to call John Wehner and Greg Brown stupid when they were talking about how Skeens wasn't as good with his command last night? Skeens walked multiple guys against the Cubs, gave up 3 home runs in an inning, and he walked 4 dudes last night, 2 of them on 4 pitches. We didn't see that last year from him. And his ERA went up 0.01. So, like, again, not a bad start. Not by a long shot. He just hasn't been as dominant this year. That's a fact. And I'm guessing when we look up at the end of the season, he's going to be right there in the Cy Young conversation, even though the team is historically bad. And we're going to go, holy cow, we're so lucky to have him. I still know we're still lucky to have him. And he's been very good, if not great, in fact, this year. But great is actually short of what he accomplished last season, because last season he was unicorn historical levels of great.
He also came up when the team was decent.
Yes.
And I think that this is different, uncharted territories where the team isn't decent. And he has to pull them out of the gutter. He didn't have to do that, really, from what my recollection of whenever he came up May 10th last year.
Yes. I think it was the 10th.
They had a winning record at the time, right? Maybe.
They were 14-19 when he came up.
They were 14-19, so they were
But then they got hot right when he came up.
Right.
And then they were good for the first 107 games.
Yes.
412-928-9370. All right, we got to get to that passing article, because I've teased it now for like 45 minutes. We can do whatever we want on this show. We've got plenty of time to get into everything we want to get into. Jeff Passan, how much will O'Neill Cruz cost when he gets close to free agency? How much will Paul Skeens cost when he gets close to free agency? That's next. That mummy screaming into the void can only mean one thing. We've got breaking news here on the Fan Morning Show. The 50-minute mark is brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19 in Peters Township. Breaking news, according to Adam Schefter, according to Ian Rappaport, including to every single NFL insider, the Steelers are trading George Pickens, the maligned wide receiver, to the Dallas Cowboys. Jerry Jones said before the draft he had 2 massive trades in the works, and people had linked the Steelers to the Cowboys. This is now, what are we, about 2 weeks post-draft, and it's getting done. According to reports, there are multiple draft picks coming back to the Steelers. I have not seen any details on that, but George Pickens is a Steeler no longer. Jerry Dulac had written just 2 days ago that the Steelers had no intentions of paying George Pickens beyond this year, and so I guess the writing was on the wall there. Mike Tomlin and company, and I think it was a Tomlin decision, moved off of Deontay Johnson last year because they didn't think they could work with that guy. George Pickens has taken plays off. George Pickens, while he's incredibly talented, showed up late to that Christmas Day game against the Kansas City Chiefs, and the Steelers have put up with a lot of crap in their past. They traded Chase Claypool. They traded Deontay Johnson, and now the most talented of the three is gone to, and he's going to a place where they don't know how the hell to handle distractions, the Dallas Cowboys. Your reaction, 412-928-9370. Dorn, your reaction.
I'm shocked. I thought that they, you know, just didn't want to go into a situation this year that they were in last year, but it tells me a lot of things, though. I mean, a lot of things are going through my mind, speculating-wise, and it tells me that maybe Aaron Rodgers isn't coming. I think that Aaron Rodgers, if he were to sign with the Pittsburgh Steelers, they would want him to have 2 legit wide receivers to throw to. And now they might have news that he is probably not coming. He's probably going to retire maybe. And they're like, okay, well, we're going to act accordingly. We're going to get rid of George. We're going to get some draft picks, and we're going to go into next year's draft full force to get our quarterback and maybe pair a young receiver with that quarterback and have DK Metcalf on the other side. So I'm very shocked that they made this happen. I am curious to see what they get back, but it does tell me that the Robert Woods signing was more legit than just a transaction. So I think that he'll be number 2.
I like DK Metcalf more than George Pickens. They're different players. They can both go down the field. They have different body types. Metcalf has had a longer track record of success, and he's not a guy who quits on the football field. So from that respect, I think even with trading Pickens, you're in a better position than you were last year, but it's not that different.
Mm-mm.
It's not that different at all. Who's your number 2 wide receiver?
Robert Woods. He's a veteran receiver, could come in and learn the offense. I think that he knows Arthur Smith pretty well. He's going to be your number 2. And you're going to maybe let Roman Wilson compete. And you'll have Calvin Austin in the slot.
Are they punting on the 2022 season? That's a thought that comes through my mind.
Exactly.
We'll get into all the different angles on this. Here's another one. Kenny Pickett was the 20th overall pick in the 2022 draft. They traded him 2 years into his Steelers career. George Pickens, 52nd pick, their second round guy, he's gone. They traded two guys from a draft that happened 3 years ago.
Yep.
Now, George Pickens has put up some statistics now and has had a decent on-the-field career, but that is two, at this point, wasted draft picks, depending on what the Steelers got in return here for Pickens.